And now, in this cycle B, the gospel for the feast of Christ the King is the conversation between Pilate and Jesus about his kingship. And there's a very powerful point made here that I hope will become clear. I'm going to read a bit because our text starts at 33, verse 33 of John 18. But you need, I think, a bit of the background. They led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium, which is where Pilate was holding forth. It's right now, it's over by the Jaffa Gate, if you ever go to Jerusalem. It was now morning. They'd been through the whole night. By this time, of course, he's been beaten, and clothed in fool's clothing, with a crown of thorns on his head. They did not go into the praetorium themselves, or they would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. Now think of the irony of this. Huh? They're plotting a man's murder, and they'll go celebrate the Passover. But they won't step into a Gentile's quarters, because that would defile them. We can't laugh at them. We do this all the time. Okay. So Pilate came out. One of the beautiful things, narrative ironies of this section, and I'll let you read it yourself, because I can only take the part that I have here. This trial, you see, mostly from verses 28 to 40 of chapter 18, Pilate is the typical worldling. He oscillates. He goes in to Jesus, then he goes out to the crowd, then he goes in to Jesus, then he goes out to the crowd. The typical oscillating worldling. You, me. We don't stay firm. And here's the biggest big shot in the occupied territories. Pilate. And he's so weak, he can't stick up for Jesus when he knows he's innocent. So he goes back and forth, until finally he says, "Ah, let him die." And that's that. That's the worldling. That's what every worldling does, is what we do when we're worldly. We oscillate back and forth between Christ and the world. So we're going to see a great example of it here in this trial. What charge do you bring against this man? They replied, "If he were not a criminal, we should not be handing him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and try him by your own law." The Jews answered, "We are not allowed to put a man to death." Then they see, Pilate sees, how far they want to push this. Not jail or even a beating. Kill him. And of course, they didn't have that jus gladii at this time, the right of the sword. This was to fulfill the words which Jesus had spoken, indicating the way he was going to die. Now, what words are those? "If I am lifted up, I will draw all to myself." The prediction of the cross. And the word he uses three times in the three predictions is exalted, lifted up, with all the ambiguity and irony of the word. He is lifted up. He is exalted. He does reveal God. And reign from the throne, as we're going to see. But on the other hand, it's an instrument of torture. So Pilate went back into the praetorium. Here's our first oscillation. And he calls Jesus to him, you see. And now we have the text that we have for the day. And Pilate said to Jesus, now back in the praetorium, you see, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He wants to find out what the charge is. Is he really a seditionist? Is he a terrorist? Why are they trying to frame this guy? Jesus said, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" What an answer, right? Pilate could have said, "Look, I've just heard it from them. Can you explain why you're a king?" He would have saved his soul. We're in crucial places like that, and we usually wiggle out. Pilate says, "I am not a Jew, am I?" In other words, "Your own nation and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" He's trying to get an idea why they want him crucified as an insurrectionist, declaring himself a king. What have you done? If he can find a way out of that, because he hates the Jews, if he can make fools of them and save his own face, he'd be happy to do it. But he's too weak to have backbone to do that. Because if this man is an insurrectionist and the Pharisees with friends in Rome get word to Caesar that Pilate let a known insurrectionist go, he's finished with Pilate. This, when you look at it, you see, is quite an essay on the power of the world to drag us down. Okay. My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants, my own people, would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here, and Tevthen, from here, doesn't get its resources from this world. So Pilate says, so you are a king. He's looking for a way now, you see. And Jesus says, you say I am a king. For this I was born, for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Now, how does that apply to kingdom? Why is he doing this? You see? Because he's now going to be the testimony to the truth. He's going to be the truth. How? By dying in an act of love. That's how. Why? Because in that act of love, he reveals the Father. And that is a revelatory act of the truth. The truth is the revelation of the Father. And the revelation of the Father takes place on the cross. You see how much he loves you? I share his love, and I am here crucified so that you will know him and stop running away from him and being clutching to your own little sensual pleasures, your own little ambitions, your own little rivalries, and let me be king. I will reveal him to you. That's the kingship. And that's why, as we have a Psalm 95 or 96 maybe, where it says, the Lord reigns. And a glossator way back in the Middle Ages put in aligno. Dominus regnavit aligno. He reigns, he is king from the wood, from the cross. So Jesus is a king. Yes. And his kingdom is the revelation of the truth. And that's why he reigns from the cross. There, in that act of love for the Father and for us, he reveals the truth. And that, you see, is my kingdom. You see? Because for this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Oh, I want that. All right. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. You don't belong if you don't listen. And of course, the word for listen, well, I'll have to give you a little Greek grammar to make my next point. The verb to hear or to listen in Greek is akouin. And it can take two cases, the genitive or the accusative. If I say, I hear you, that's the accusative. Akuo say, I hear you. I know what you're saying, you know. But if I say, you see, in the genitive, it means I listen to you. Is that tiny difference? They're almost the same in Hebrew. Shemalu, shemabu. But it's this notion. I can hear you and do nothing. I heard you. I heard your cry on the cross. too bad. Gee, I wish it could have fixed it up. Or I listen to you. You are my God. You are God of God and light of lights, and I listen to you. You are my King. I obey you. So I celebrate this feast of Christ the King, not just by song and dance and reading about Jesus' claims to kingship, but by obedience. Obedience. I listen to you. I listen to your voice. And so you see, the truth is Jesus on the cross. Because there you have the revelation of the Father. Why? Next time you go to a chapel or pick up the crucifix on your wall, but one with a corpus, and gaze at it. And gaze at the wound in Christ's side. And let the Holy Spirit take you inside that wound so you see the heart of Jesus. There you will see the Father. And that's the truth. So the truth, Jesus is the truth, as he says earlier, you see. And whoever belongs to the truth, who belongs to the truth? The ones who listen to me. And I will take you into my heart. How many saints have told us this? How many saints have told us? Dwell in the heart of Christ. Go through that open side and dwell from which the sacraments come and dwell in the heart of Christ. Then you'll know the truth. Why? Because even in this life, you will know the Father. And that revelation of the Father, that's the truth. That's why, you see, on the cross, he reigns. I don't know why this other dimension of this comes to mind right now. I hope I can put it together. In the Song of Songs, Christ says to you, to me, let me hear your voice. Do you hear what love is in that? I just want to hear your voice. I love you so much. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice talking to me and praising me and thanking me that I died in an act of love for you and they pierced my side so that you could have access to that. You could dwell there and you would know the truth. And that truth will set you free. That's the truth. The love of the Father for the world, summarized, densified in my heart, which is pierced for love of you. That's why the church sings, out of that heart flow baptism and confirmation and Eucharist, all the touches of Christ to this moment in the church. Christ touches us through the sacraments, and they come from his heart. But it had to be a wounded heart. It had to be opened up so that love could come out. And that's the revelation. And that revelation, that love, that open heart, that's what makes him king. Because he's revealing the truth. The Father's love. And he is king. And those who listen to me, you see, are the ones who belong to the truth. They yield to that, and they're free.